This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Good evening to everybody. This is Prashanti Dasri. I'm from India and I'm actually a born Christian. And I migrated to Dubai recently, August 2011. And I happened to, I came to know about Islam. My brother also here is in Dubai. And he keeps telling us about Allah. I'm really convinced, and with all the whatever knowledge that he shared with me, I'm totally convinced, and that Islam is the straightforward religion, and Allah is Alpha, He's Omega, He's the beginning, and He's last. We cannot see sun more than 10 minutes, so how can we see a creator? So I'm totally convinced, but there are some questions, that we have doubts, because since I'm a born Christian, I have four questions to Brother Zakir Naik. The first question is, Brother, I've been listening to your videos, in YouTube, that you were talking about the Holy Spirit, and you specifically mentioned that Holy Spirit exists. So, I just wanted to know, is Holy Spirit there in Islam, according to Quran? And also, there is a verse in Old Testament Bible that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. Spirit of God. So, is Holy Spirit a separate from Allah? This is my question.
Sisters asked two questions. Question number one is that there is Holy Spirit. What is the meaning and who is this Holy Spirit as per the Quran, as per Islam, as compared to Christianity? And the Bible does say that the Spirit of God hovers above the water. What does it mean? Is the Holy Spirit separate than God? Sister, you've asked two questions. If I answer these two questions, will you accept Islam?
I have totally four questions. So,
you want me to answer the first two and then you'll ask the next two questions?
No, yeah, absolutely. I'm 70%, I'm convinced, whatever knowledge that my brother shared with me, and I've been watching your videos, I'm 70% convinced. I'm being very honest and very transparent.
So, inshallah, if the four questions answered,
yes,
if you're convinced 100%, you'll accept Islam.
Inshallah, I will accept Islam.
The sister asked two questions, and after she'll ask the other two questions, that the Bible does mention about Holy Spirit. What is the reference of Holy Spirit in the Quran? What the definition of Holy Spirit, it is not the same as mentioned Islam, because when the Christians, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they assume it is part of the Trinity, the triune God, though the word Trinity doesn't exist in the Bible, nowhere. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When they say Father, they think about Almighty God, like a Santa Claus sitting in the heavens with the earth at the footstool. When they talk about the Son, they think about Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, like Jeffrey Hunter in the movie The King of Kings, with blue eyes and good nose, not a polyp nose like a Jew. When they talk about the Holy Spirit, they think about dove that came at Pentecost, or when Jesus Christ was being baptized. What is the Spirit that's mentioned in the Quran? What I believe is Quran talks about Archangel Gabriel. You are one of the angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of his roles was to get the revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many other roles he has got. So we believe in the Archangel. So like that, if you say that there is a Spirit, we have no problem. But he's not part of the triune God. And both are separate. The angel, the Archangel Gabriel, is separate than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Spirit even mentioned in the Bible is separate than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They aren't joined. This is the teaching of the church. Because the word Trinity doesn't exist anywhere in the Bible. But if you read the Quran, the Trinity is mentioned twice in the Quran. In Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 171, where it says, "Wala taqulu salasa," don't say Trinity. "Intau khairul lakum," this is stop, it's better for you. So Quran says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسَ don't sit in a tea. And the same message is repeated in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 73. It says, لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا they are doing kufr, those who say that God is three in one. So the word Trinity appears in the Quran twice, and both the places it says it is wrong to use the word Trinity. And in the Quran, it is mentioned that don't say Trinity, but the word Trinity doesn't exist in the Bible. The closest verse to Trinity in the Bible is the first epistle of John, chapter number 5, verse number 7, which says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So this verse, if you read the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, revised by Thaidu scholars of the highest eminence, Christian scholars, they say that this verse of first epistle of John, chapter number 5, verse number 7, is an interpolation, is a fabrication, is a concoction, and they've thrown this verse out of the Bible. So the verse in the Bible that was not talking directly about Trinity, but the closest to Trinity, is thrown out by the scholars of Christianity as a fabrication, as a concoction. So, but naturally the Spirit and Almighty God, they're two different entities, they're not the same. And in the Quran, it talks about Archangel Gabriel. He's the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hope that answers the question, sister.
Yes, brother.
I would like to know your other two questions.
Yeah, my third question is, which is related to Holy Spirit only. All the prophets, all the man of God, like Prophet Abraham, Prophet Isaac, and Prophet Moses, peace be upon them. All the prophets, they used to intercede with Allah. They used to interact with Allah. So to interact with Allah, because they are all the chosen ones, they must be gifted by some strength. It might be the grace of God. So it is a power. There is that some power so that they are able to interact with Allah. So what is that power? So what is my understanding? I mean, what was my understanding all these days was, with the help of Holy Spirit, all the prophets were interceding with Allah. Is that true?
Sister asked the question that the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intercede with Almighty God. Then she said interaction with Almighty God. Sister, the English word intercede and interaction are two different things. So is your question intercede or interaction?
Intercede.
Intercede means that someone intercedes on somebody else's behalf. Someone intercedes on somebody else's behalf. Now this you have to realize that when you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anyone to intercede. The Quran says in Surah Ghafir, chapter number 40, verse number 60, you ask me and I will answer your prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require anyone to intercede with him. Why? And people give the example that, you know, when you go in a court of law, when you're presenting your case to the judge, you hire lawyers. So like that, the messengers of God are our lawyers. This is okay and logical for a judge who's a human being, because the judge does not know who is the criminal, who is the robber. So the lawyer helps the judge to understand who is a criminal, who is a robber, who is not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilm e ghaib. He does not require anyone to prove to him who is good, who is bad. So it is wrong to say intercede. Yes, someone can pray. A messenger can pray for other human beings. And Allah says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require any intercession except who he wills on the day of judgment. So on the day of judgment, Allah says he will give permission to certain people to intercede. And this, there are hadith saying that this special favor will be given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So what we know from the history of all the other scriptures, as well as the Quran, as well as the hadith, that the messengers of God, they interacted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They prayed for others. But if we use the Prophet to intercede, that means if I pray, that if I go through this Prophet, following the commandments of Prophet is good. But if I pray to somebody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what many of the human beings do. They pray to human beings saying they are closer to Almighty God. So if we pray through him, God will accept our prayer faster and better. This is wrong. We have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. These prophets of God, they are messengers. Yes, they have special powers. They can speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain men amongst men, to communicate his message to the other human beings. These chosen people of Almighty God, we call as prophets or we call as messengers of God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects certain human beings in the world to communicate his message to the other human beings. These are called as messengers of God. So there is communication between the messenger and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean that human beings can use these messengers to intercede. That if they pray to these messengers, Almighty God will listen to us. This is the teaching of the church, that you believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and all your sins will be forgiven. This concept doesn't exist in Islam and doesn't exist even in true Christianity. It is the teaching of the church, sister. Hope that answers the question.
Yeah, my final question is, in New Testament, in one book of Acts, Paul mentioned about tongues. What do you say about tongues in New Testament? I mean, according to Islam, is that it's totally eliminated, it's not there, or the gift of tongues existed at that time?
Sister asked the question that Paul said about tongues. If you give me the reference, I'll be in a better position. There are many things mentioned in the Bible about tongues. There are many verses in the Quran which speaks about tongue. If you give me the reference what you're talking about, I'll be in a better position to reply to you. But generally, there are many statements in the Bible talking about tongues. And also says, if you read the Gospel, if you read the Gospel of Mark, it says that anyone who is a believer, he will be able to understand foreign tongues and speak foreign tongues. That means if you are a believer in God, then you can understand foreign languages and you can speak foreign languages. So that's what I did when I had a debate with Dr. William Campbell. I gave him a 100-rupee note. And the Indian 100-rupee note, as you may be aware, since we have got 22 official languages, I read in English 100 rupees, Hindi says 100 rupiya. I asked him to read the other 20 languages, if he's a believer, and he could not. There are many references in the Quran talking about tongues. If you read the Quran says in Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 22, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human beings in different colors and tongues so that you should recognize each other, so that the men of understanding will understand. Furthermore, the Quran says that on the day of judgment, your tongues, your organs, your hands, they will be witness for you, what you did right, what you did wrong. There are various hadith of the Prophet talking about the tongue. So there are many references in the Quran talking about the tongue. There are many references in the Bible that talk about tongue and how to test a believer. Hope that answers the question, sister.
Thank you. And my final question. I have a Muslim friend and he suggested me to read Bible Old Testament. Okay, he specifically mentioned to go through the Old Testament in Bible, and then he said read Quran. But as you mentioned specifically, Quran is the final revelation given by Allah. So as a Muslim, what do you suggest me? Because my friend, being a Muslim, he said follow Bible Old Testament and then read Quran. So,
sister, the question that one of her friends told her, that first read the Old Testament, then read the Quran. Sister, it's not the must. If there is something like the Old Testament and the New Testament, then there's something like the Last Testament, the Quran. So when the Christians say Old and New Testament, this is the last and final testament of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'm asking you the question. Suppose you have different versions and editions of a book. For example, you have gone to a medical college. I was in a medical college, Professor Keith Moore wrote some books, and his book had first edition, second edition, third edition. So would you read the first edition or the latest edition?
Of course. I'll go for the latest.
Latest, correct. Yes. If you really love the first edition, you know I'm a fan of the first edition, then I said, no problem, read the first edition, then read the last edition. So if you're so much hooked on to the Old Testament, and you know your Old Testament is close to your heart, then the Quran says in Surah Imran chapter 3 verse 64, Ta'ala wila kalimatin sawa'in bayna baynakum. Come to common terms as been asked in you. Then I would say that if you're so much hooked on to the Old Testament, no problem, read the Old Testament, then read the Quran, at least agree what is common. And when we read the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Quran, we come to know that the thing that is common in these scriptures is that there's one God and He deserves to be worshipped. He has got no image. He is not begotten. It further says that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, is not God. And both these scriptures say that the last and final messenger is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So sister, now are you prepared to accept Islam?
Of course, yes.
Sister, do you believe that there is one God?
Yes, I believe there is only one God.
Do you believe that Jesus is not God but is a messenger of God?
Yes, I believe Jesus is a messenger.
Do you believe Prophet Muhammad is the last and final messenger?
Yes, I believe Prophet Muhammad is the last and the final messenger.
Sister, is there anyone forcing you to accept Islam?
Sorry?
Is there anyone forcing you to accept Islam?
No, nobody is forcing me.
Are you accepting out of your free will?
Yes.
Because in Islam, to force anyone to accept Islam is haram. It's haram in the religion, and it's haram, it's prohibited in most of the countries, I believe, even in Dubai. To force anyone to accept a religion is forbidden. So you're accepting out of free will, sister?
Yes. But that is the reason I asked you many questions.
Mashallah.
Out of free will.
I hope no one is bribing you.
No.
You know, because in India, when after many people accept Islam, the CID, the police go there and ask, how much dollars Dr. Zakir Naik give you? I tell them, I have given them currency of the Akhirah. Currency of the Akhirah, and that's accepted. So inshallah, sister, I will say in Arabic and you can repeat it.
Okay.
Ashadu.
Ashadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa ashadu.
Wa ashadru.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa rusuluhu.
Wa rusulu.
I bear witness.
I bear witness.
That.
That.
There is no God.
That there is no God.
But Allah.
But Allah.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness.
That.
That.
Prophet Muhammad.
Prophet Muhammad.
Is the messenger.
Is the messenger.
And servant of Allah.
And servant of Allah.
MashaAllah, sister, you're a Muslim. Yeah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your effort. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that to guide you further. And inshallah, give you the best in this world as well as the akhirah. And grant you a place in paradise, inshallah, sister.